Hello, I'm Barry Daniel, and this is the podcast of the Middle Way Society. Our aim is to encourage a universal approach to living a more integrated, ethical life, avoiding dogma or any appeal to authority. My guest today is Norma Smith, a retired art teacher who recently became a member of the Society. Welcome to the MWS podcast, Norma.
Thank you very much.
So, Norma, first of all, would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, I'll get it into as compact a nutshell as I can. I grew up in London, in North London. I was a schoolgirl during the war. When I was 19, I went to Guy's Hospital to study to be a nurse. Mm-hmm. We had to live in those days. It's a big teaching hospital, and it was rather like being in a boarding school. Anyway.
How was that experience?
Oh, I was very happy there. Yes, yeah. I enjoyed it. And I met my future husband there, and we decided to get married fairly quickly.
Yes.
Yeah. Meant leaving the hospital, and I became a dental nurse. Mm-hmm. We lived on a boat in St. Catherine's Dock near Towerbridge.
Wow.
Which was in those days just a dock to store molasses.
And did you travel with the boat, or was it mainly just a home?
No, we didn't. We didn't when it was there. No, we didn't. We had a dinghy. Uh-huh. And then after a year or so, climbing up and down a ladder when I was pregnant wasn't a good idea, and so we moved to outside London. Uh-huh. I had four children. Sadly, my marriage ended after 15 years. Mm-hmm. And I took the children back to London and had to find work.
Right. So it was you and four kids?
Yes.
Right. That was I imagine was quite a challenge.
It was really, yes. But I had support. I mean, yeah. We weren't enemies. We just didn't live together anymore.
Yeah.
So I had to find work. So I've always worked with people. So I became a visiting officer in the civil service.
Right.
In those days, everybody who needed benefit had to be visited in their home. Uh-huh. So I loved this work. I'd go round to visit people in the morning and then come back to the office in the afternoon. I did that for about 3.5 years, and then I had a change of tack and joined the Education Welfare Service, which also meant visiting. I liaised between head teachers and parents.
And why did you make that change? What?
They wanted me to go up higher in the ladder, and I got cold feet, basically.
Okay.
The lack of confidence, really. But the time came in about the middle of the 1970s when I had the opportunity to study. So I did a degree in art and religious science. Mm-hmm. And then finished my teaching year to be an art teacher. And soon after that, I moved to North Devon. My children had all grown up and left. So I moved to North Devon. My sister and her husband and children lived next door, and it was in the country, and it was beautiful, and I loved it. Uh-huh. But after about 12 years in Devon, two of my daughters had children, and the pull of family became greater. Yeah. So I moved to Brighton, where they all lived, and I've been here for getting on for 16, 17 years now.
And do you feel quite settled?
I just love Brighton. Oh. It has the countryside and it has the seaside.
Yeah.
And where I live in a lovely little community, we're sort of in fairly narrow streets in terraced houses. But we're all very friendly, and it's a very good place to be.
Sounds lovely.
Yes. And that's it, really. It brings me up to date.
Yeah, and what was it that brought you to the Middle Way Society?
Well, from about in 1945, my mother died. And from then on, I really searched for somewhere to belong.
Yeah.
And it's been a long search on and off over decades. And I turned to religion at first, but didn't really find the answers. But I found the Middle Way Society, which is good for various reasons for me. It's an online site and it welcomes everybody.
Yep.
Especially if you're willing to spend time and thought in finding a way to somehow integrate the contrast of good and bad, or this, them and us.
Yeah, yeah.
And conflict in general, and use that energy to find a middle way, a path that you can walk.
So you really, do you feel that you embrace this, do you?
Well, it's very early days, but yeah. I must say I feel very at home, and I feel free to say what I think, and I'm not restricted by having to think about breaking any dogmas, or I don't think along metaphysical lines at all. Yeah.
That's similar for me as well, Norma, that, for example, with Robert, I think he's made a very coherent, rational and well thought through theory, but, you know, which is provisional, and it's a work in progress. And I think one of the things why the society was set up was that was to encourage this this idea of collaboration, so that, you know, that so it can be developed communally, in a sense, if you see what I mean.
I do, and I am very grateful to Rob, because I'm on a learning curve now, and you know, I'm trying to think clearly, which he really advocates, and
yeah.
And trying to also have time to think about being in the minute, trying not to spend time thinking about what you said and did and what other people said and did in the past, and trying not to think about future plans, but spending a small part of the day trying to just be calm in your mind. So that's an important factor. So having learning and having a quiet time, sitting, meditating, or painting, that's another way of becoming absorbed in the moment.
Yeah.
Or gardening, I mean, everybody has their own way of doing it.
Of course, yeah. Do you think you've, for most of your life, you've had a sort of intuitive sense about the middle way?
I think so, yes, I think so, but you know, lots of people I can think of as leading a middle way, but it does need a certain amount of effort to work things through.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm happy to do that because I love to learn.
That sounds great. And you mentioned, as you say, you were an art teacher, and art has been presumably a very important part of your life. Has it helped you in good times and bad?
Oh, yes, yes. I didn't do much teaching in schools when I moved to Devon, but I did set up two adult art classes for a weekly class in two Devon villages. And it was amazing to see what was produced by these adults, these friends who became friends. You know, we had exhibitions and they probably hadn't picked up a paintbrush since they were at school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was very happy about doing that. But then I did have to come back and live in Brighton with the children nearby. Not on top of me, but nearby.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And do you find that, for example, what is your main medium when at home? Do you oil paint or do you...
I used to paint in oils, but now because I don't have any space other than my sitting room to paint in, I use acrylic, which doesn't smell and it's water-based and it's very easy to use. So acrylic is mostly what I use these days.
Okay. And if there was a spectrum between being sort of spontaneous and finickety and perfectionist, where would you be on that spectrum, do you think?
That's a very good question, because I might start out with an initial idea and a framework, which, you know, you do need. But then often I'll go in a different direction altogether and the result will be not quite as I expected it to be, but still very interesting. So it's a time to let your imagination wander.
Right, and just sort of let go.
And let go, yes, yes. I mean, you have to know some skills, of course. You have to have some skills. You know how to have to know how to mix your paint and what makes a good composition, whether it's, you know, figurative or if it's abstract. But, you know, you have to have a few basic ideas about how to paint.
Okay.
Like having to learn the piano, you know, it helps to learn your scales and a bit of music theory.
And one thing in our pre-chat before we had this interview, you mentioned that you're an agnostic. That's the term you feel most comfortable with. Could you explain a little bit about that?
Yes, I will. I originally called myself an atheist, but you know, I was led to believe that really you can't be one thing or another. You can't be a theist. It means if you're a theist, there's also an atheist.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a sort of middle way, although I lean towards being an atheist. I wouldn't say I am anymore. But Robert has a phrase which he says, be a hard agnostic, which seems to fit the bill as far as I'm concerned.
What does that mean to you, hard agnostic?
It means that I'm a finite person. I can't really know that, you know, there is a God or there isn't a God. I mean, I have Christian friends who firmly believe in a God. And, you know, I have no problem with them, but it doesn't work for me.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's... And is that Robert uses the term soft agnosticism as well? I mean, my understanding that that's sort of, I think that's the term that what's often thought of as agnosticism, the idea of sitting on the fence. I don't know how you feel about this, but for me, that is a sort of hanging on to the possibility of certainty, when what we need to do is, you know, really come to terms with the impossibility of certainty.
And I do agree with that. Yes, I absolutely agree. Yes.
So now I'm very comfortable with that term, hard agnostic. I've actually used it once or twice with people, though, Norma, and I've said it, and they look like I've come from Planet Zong. So I mean, but so I think yes. The bit of awareness building needs to be done there. But it really makes sense to me. It's just knowing that you don't know, really, isn't it?
It is. It's exactly that.
Yeah.
And I love the idea that I'm just catching on to, which I should have maybe caught on to, that we think in metaphors. You know, we say the days are rushing by. Well, you don't look out of the window and say, see days rushing by, but we absolutely understand what it means when you say the days are rushing by, or we've hit a brick wall. We know what it means, even though we haven't actually hit a brick wall, you know.
Exactly, yes.
So we do think in metaphors, and there are metaphors for many myths and stories. And
yeah, and have you come across any of the work of George Lakoff?
I have, now, very, very recently, and I'm absolutely inspired by what he says. He has a very easy approach to telling you something really very difficult, and I find him very easy to listen to on YouTube. I spend a lot of time learning from discussions on YouTube, because I just enjoy learning, I must admit.
That's great. Yeah, I think Robert sees George Lakoff's ideas on embodied meaning as a very, very influential on the whole idea of integration of meaning in Middle Way philosophy. It's something I'm keen to learn more about. So I'll have a look at I'll find that link and I'll just when we put this up on the site, I'll put a link to it as well.
Oh, that would be really good. Yeah. Yes, that would be really good.
Okay, well, Norma, it's been lovely talking to you today.
Well, I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to interacting with you and exchanging ideas and thoughts on the site.
Me too. I look forward to it very much.
Okay, well, thank you very much for talking to me today.
It's been my pleasure.
You can find out more about Middle Way Philosophy at www.middlewaysociety.org.